Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. What if a pinch of salt could carry a memory? For Ivy and Kobe Summer, that's not a metaphor. It's a business model. Growing up in Utah, Ivy was cooking full meals for her family by the time she was 8 years old, driven by a belief that food is one of the most powerful ways human beings connect with each other. And after 15 years working nearly every job in the restaurant industry, Ivy took that conviction and distilled it into something you can hold in your hand, a jar of small batch, handcrafted, infused salts and sugars. The resulting company, The Salted Roots, started with a single red wine salt made for friends and family and has grown into one of Utah's most beloved artisan food brands, now found in specialty shops across the state and beyond. Ivy and Kobe join us now to talk about flavor, craft, and what it really means to feed people well. Ivy and Kobe Summer, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited.
Me too. Well, let's start with you, Ivy. You were cooking full meals for your family as a really young kid. I mean, what was happening in that kitchen, and what did food mean to you as a child? How did that shape the person you've become?
It was definitely something, you know, my grandma was a huge baker, passed down to my mom, and it was just something that made sense in my head. So, you know, I was cooking birthday cakes, and I was making full breakfasts, you know, at 7, 8 years old. And my mom would always look at me and be like, what are you? You know, because it's like she loved it, but she just couldn't see that that was something I really wanted to do. And then I was a self-taught pastry chef by 18. I owned my own wedding cake business at 18.
Wow.
And then I turned that into specialty cake pops.
Oh, great.
So I was doing that.
And those were really exploding. So that
must
have been fun.
And there were like some detailed, you know, I was hand painting chocolate on these cake pops and doing themes and all that. And then when I moved from St. George to Salt Lake, I got to be the lead pastry chef for a 5-star gastropub in Draper.
Wow.
And the chef trusted me enough to just say, hey, make a menu and let's run with it.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And pastry, I mean, that is, my grandmother actually made wedding cakes. She didn't call herself a pastry chef because that was a different era.
Mm-hmm.
But and I know how much goes into that. That must have been quite a process.
It's a science, especially, you know, when you're making 200 creme brulees at a time. If you mess up one tray, you know, there goes a ton of them.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of focus on that. And then I think I started leaning into more of the cooking, sauteing, all of that with my older years because I wanted to have that freedom
mm-hmm.
and not have to micro measure stuff out. So I wanted to have a little bit more of that sprinkle of this here, sprinkle of that here.
A little more looseness, a little more of zen.
Yep,
right?
Yep, 100%.
Well, it sounds like the origin of Salted Roots is pretty simple. It was a jar of red wine salt. Can you take us back to that experiment and what made you think this is something?
Yes. So it's actually kind of a silly, funny story. You know, this was in, so I actually started making this in 2020 when everyone was bored and watching TikTok, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a guy who was camping pour red wine over salt, and I'm like, well, where's the flavor? I could, you know, what are you doing? I could do that so much better. And so then I was like, let's add some rosemary, peppercorn, garlic. And then now all of a sudden I have this all-in-one steak seasoning.
Mm.
And then my brain went, well, if I can infuse red wine, maybe I can infuse tequila into it and make a spicy one. So I made an all-natural tahine, and then it turned into sugars as well, and that's my pastry background. So it's all kind of been a really big science project for us, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Like just testing out flavors, testing out what works.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, when we do that, we come up with some of these most unique flavors and options for people
right.
because we really are just experimenting and having fun.
Now we have like 16, I think, with seasonals.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. And do you, is it mostly the two of your palates or do you have like a little taste test team that you like to throw things by?
I think a little bit of both, but I think we come up with an idea and go, yeah, let's run with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You gotta trust yourself.
Breakfast salts are best
seller.
It's usually
her brain, and then we fine tune it together. Right?
Well, hey, that's a good partnership. So, all right. So you mentioned breakfast salt. What is in a breakfast salt?
So it's our number one seller. I woke up from a nap and I told Kobe I wanted waffles for dinner, and he's like, "No, we're having steaks." And I was like, "Well, what if I just made a salt that tastes like breakfast?" And so it's a maple bacon vanilla bean salt.
Oh my gosh.
And it's infused with Pendleton whiskey, so you get a lot of that carameliness to it.
Oh my, my mouth is watering.
It's so weird. Smell that just for fun.
See, I will.
And then Kobe smokes the bacon.
It's smoky.
Yep.
And I just want to like just dump that on my tongue.
Right?
My gosh.
Not
that
different than what the reaction is awkward.
Wow.
Right?
And you know what's interesting is that I'm one of those people, I just am very sensitive to artificial flavors or artificial sugars, any of that stuff. It just doesn't work with my body very well. And that smells real. I feel like I just walked into a breakfast kitchen, like in a camp or something. Yeah. Yep. It's just delicious.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the main source like items and ideas that I had when we first started. Is I don't want to cut any quarters. Like, we don't have to have artificial colors and flavors. Like, there's too much of that out there.
Yeah.
So every fruit, veggie, citrus, vanilla bean, we hand cut and put in these huge
batches.
Oh, that
doesn't sound work intensive at all.
I mean, you kind of zen out. You're like, all right, I'm peeling a case of lemons.
We love it now.
But, like, we're so fast at it now that it's like, okay. And then now that we have help, you know, that that makes it a lot easier, too.
And you taste the love. I mean, you taste that humanity in foods where people have taken an artisan hands-on approach, I think.
Yeah, often it's night and day.
It really is.
With those flavors, right.
And cutting that corner, like you said, I mean, it's very tempting, especially as you try to scale up, to think, well, maybe we could just get this or we could just do that. So I really commend you for trying your best to keep it pure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, Kobe, let me ask you this. You came into Ivy's life around the same time the Salted Roots was coming to life, and you famously tasted the red wine salt on your first date. How did that, what did you think about that?
Well, I just remember smelling it. Well, she didn't even tell me she was doing this until, you know, a few hours in. And then she pulls one out, and I smell it.
Here, look what I have in my purse.
And I was like, what is a red wine salt? This is even, what is this? And then I smelled it, and I was like, how is this possible? How did you do this?
Yeah.
And it's like that proprietary whatever she does that just was like different. And I'm like, I've never heard of this before. And if I'm feeling like this right now, I know a bunch of other people are too. So I was like, let's hit the ground running. Cause I really was like in between jobs too. So I was like, this is an opportunity to do something that I always wanted to try, which was start a small business. Right.
Wow.
Got married over a medium rare steak with red wine salt.
I love
this. And chimichurri.
Well, so, so you've been married a couple years now.
Yep.
That can be both challenging and amazingly convenient to be working together in life and in your business. How do you divide the many, many tasks and roles that come with being in a small business?
Yeah, I do the back end of stuff, right? The website, the social media.
He's my tech guy.
But also that, like, when she comes up with something, I'm like, we can fine-tune this just right here. It can be better right here. Add more of it at this time, whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, she's the master scientist.
It's good to have a truth teller, though.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you're driving it, Ivy, though, even if you've got a great palate, Kobe, and you can be like, I'm doing this, you know when that resonates with you, right? And you're like, you know what? I wondered about that. And so now I know how I want to fine tune it.
I think he's one of the only people that can be like, hey, what are you? And, you know, most people, I'm like, nah. No, you don't understand.
Thank you for your opinions,
like,
but
thank you. Thanks, bye. And then he'll say it, and I go, okay, I'll look into this.
Which is flattering because she has so much background in this for her to listen to me.
I
must have a good palate,
you
right?
You must.
Well, and it's crazy that, you know, we live together, work together, all of that, you know, and people that have been married forever, like, how do you guys do this all day, every
don't
day?
Don't you hate each other? Like, no, this is great.
Yeah, no, it's great.
This is everything I wanted.
I mean, we got married after going to Burning Man together during Mud Man, so it's like, if we can get through that, we'll get through anything.
Everybody's breaking up around us. We're just like,
let's go make some food.
Yeah, Burning Man can be an interesting litmus test for the health of a relationship.
Especially that year.
Oh, the mud. Oh,
mud Man.
Oh, so true. You've faced people who've called this just a hobby. These people drive me nuts.
Yes.
Yep.
But when self-doubt creeps in, on those dark moments when you're really under the gun, you're really being challenged, what keeps you going? And is there a moment when you just knew that this was meant to be not only an interesting business thing, but maybe the direction of the next decade of your life?
I think we hear those, you know, often, oh, well, this is just salt, you know, but it's not, you know, but you can't really convince someone if they want to believe something. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you kind of feel the same, is that we have so many people that are religious followers. I mean, they have one of everything, first edition, second edition, they're all on their stuff. They've bought all of our merch, they show up to the markets, wearing our hats,
We're not just our friends either.
Yeah, not just
your moms.
Not just our moms.
But it's people that, like, even our friends across the country, they've been telling everyone in Maryland about it, and now all of their friends have everything. And so, you know, one comment like that isn't going to stir me because we have all of these other positive comments to think about and people Good. That come up with these crazy recipes, you know, and we're on some bar menus now. You know, for some, like at Pico down in Salt Lake, they have Pico. Their entire cocktail menu is our salts and sugars on it.
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah. And so we're getting more coffee shops, you know, and so that's kind of the route I would love to go as well.
Right now that is really the push is like we've done the farmers markets and we're going to continue doing those, but getting into the more commercial area, you know, because I feel like it really shines in those areas too. And people get to see it. A little bit like
in action,
propped up, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Ivy and Kobe Summer of The Salted Roots, a wonderful product out of Salt Lake and in many of the markets around town, salts and sugars and flavors and lots of great stuff. And so your products are actually available up here in Park City. If people are interested, what are some of the ways that they might find it up here?
So we do sell at Indigo Highway, which we all know how
love Indigo Highway.
I love that store so much. We're going to be at the Park City Summer Market every Sunday that they have it. And then, I mean, there's so many other little, they're all on the website in case anyone's traveling.
And you do have a website, thesaltedroots.com?
You have to put the in there.
Yes, fair enough. URLs are harder and harder to get these days. thesaltedroots.com.
Yep.
And then you're also in markets all over Salt Lake or throughout Utah, right? Where else might people see you?
Ogden. Downtown.
We're even in Vegas coming up in October.
Yeah,
we're starting to branch out. We got Idaho, a little bit of Idaho.
Yep. And then Wheeler Farm. So Wheeler, Ogden, Park City.
Nice.
Doing a few out-of-state ones.
Did I hear that you were even in a pop-up in New York?
We did that for a three-month stint in
How
pop-up
fun.
Grocer.
Yeah. Wow, what did that feel like to have a Utah-made product in the big city?
It was surreal. I'm like, wait. What? We're right in New York
I
City?
I wish we could have gone out there to see it, but we were just so busy with markets here. But... They had somebody go out there and like do some recordings for
they
us.
They said it was just like right in the center of their spices. Aww. And I'm like, yay.
Yes.
So definitely, I mean, all over the state though, we're in Escalante at Wild Desert Rose Boutique. Aww. We're at Mojave in St. George.
The Neighborhood Hive.
And then we just got into the Wasatch Co-op.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So
Great.
First members owned awesome grocery store.
Yeah, so we were just talking about that before we came on air, the Wasatch Co-op. This is a big deal. It's in Salt Lake. It's officially the ninth area, but it's actually a couple blocks west of there.
Yes.
And is it all Utah-made products or mostly?
Local produce,
mostly.
Local. I mean, they do have some other, but it's mainly all local produce, foods, coffees, teas, you know. All the stuff that you would find like at a really nice farmer's market, all in one spot.
Oh,
and it's member owned too, which is one of the coolest parts. So
I love that.
Yeah,
it's so nice to have it affect not only your personal health and well-being, but also the community. That's
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me ask you about your home garden. It sounds like it's full of heirloom, non-GMO herbs, vegetables that make it into your products. How does where something is grown change how it tastes and makes you feel, in your opinion?
I mean, we all know the difference of getting a Walmart tomato versus like this beautiful heirloom tomato. You can just eat it straight and it's like, it's obvious. With all of the free time that I have, I start we have a greenhouse at the house, so I'll start all of my heirloom tomato seeds in there, baby them from January on. Mm. We just moved to a new house though, so this year we're trying to re-up that
kind of building year for the garden.
Took a year to kind of get that mulch going, all that.
It
so
does.
This year I think, I mean,
it's
our tomatoes
great.
Are already 2 feet tall.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a challenging year for a lot of growers, so whatever you can do at home and tend to yourself I think is really wise.
Yep,
I agree.
Right. And usually, you know, I'll do the cold weather ones, but this year I just stuck to the guys that like the heat. Lots of peppers. Tomatoes and zucchini.
Yeah.
For
now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank God for zoodles.
Like. Zoodles.
Oodles of zoodles.
Well, you were mentioning earlier that you do a lot of this hand zesting, hand peeling, stuff like that. And you've said that you've chosen the hardest path for every product. Hours of hand peeling, full reductions, double infusions. Why not simplify? What would be lost?
My dignity? I don't
know. There's no way I could do that. I don't, you know.
It is our biggest selling point. Yeah. Just how hard it is to make it.
It was so off the cuff, but I was like, that is the honest answer.
Fair
you
enough.
Know, I can't.
Your
sell
soul?
Something in the beginning, my soul will be gone. But it's like for the people that have bought this since the beginning and know and love it, I honestly know they would see a difference in it. And it's like, I don't want to create that, oh, well, now they're adding
one of the biggest like differences we always say at farmers markets is this isn't just dry on dry mixed stuff, like putting the salt in there, getting the ingredients powdered probably and just tossing it in and mixing it and calling it a day. Right. So those reductions themselves and when we pour them in and how everything is introduced back into the salt at certain times, some of it's even smoked, but only a portion of it at the end, not to like take over all the other flavors. So it's really a very fine tuned balance that it's all on purpose.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So having that lost. And it'd just be another thing on the shelf.
And I feel like we'd be kind of bored at the kitchen, honestly.
It's too much time.
This additive and this additive and
here
this additive.
Go. There's this natural flavor, which nobody knows what
those are. Yeah, natural doesn't even mean anything anymore.
Nobody knows what that is.
Well, anybody who has ever, you know, like we have a lot of dedicated home cooks and home chefs around here, you know, people who are really into a gourmet experience. They know how tricky it is to, even if you're doing something yourself, like I'm going to chop up a little rosemary and put it with some salt, or I'm going to put some lemon zest in my sugar to top a pie or something. But they should try your stuff.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's a whole nother level. It's layers of flavor, and it's not just one note.
Yeah.
It's a symphony happening.
Very well said.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And so what were some of the blends that you come up with that have some of those layers that people are really responding to right now?
The prickly pear chipotle, it's called prickly chipotle, is one of my, that's my ode to St. George, you know, I love it.
That sounds like it has to go on the rim
sweet,
of a margarita
smoky,
glass, right?
Exactly.
But then some sauteed butter shrimp, you know, or any, so when I made these, I really wanted them to be multi-use.
Yeah.
So like, I don't want it to just be like, oh, this is a margarita.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Have fun with it, sprinkle it on a cookie, put it on like, you know, anything, some buttered toast.
Yeah.
So people have gotten really creative with how they use them. And that was kind of what I wanted to do, is inspire people to get creative, you know, not go with the status quo. Like, obviously breakfast salt is good on eggs and hash browns.
Sure.
But put it on some sweet potatoes, you know, put it on a baked potato. So good.
One of our nephews likes avocado toast.
Yeah,
right?
Avocado toast.
Could
with
be
it.
Anything.
Like, just try
to
it.
Experiment.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Yeah,
just
and look,
like creating the recipes.
Yeah, like, and look how everything seasoning went from just kind of a random one-off at Trader Joe's, and now it's across number of industries. I mean,
everybody
it's incredible.
Talks about that, for
right?
sure.
Right? Yeah.
Our newest high-end one, though, I don't know if I should explain.
Oh, go ahead,
Do it.
We started doing our top-tier truffle salt.
Ooh.
So we are using a Celtic salt base on it, hand-shaved black truffles, has a Josh Cellar Prosecco base since we started working with them a little bit.
Nice.
Have you tried their Prosecco? It's
I love all the Josh wines.
Yes, so good.
No.
And then it has tarragon, shallots, white pepper, and parsley.
I could just imagine that on a plate of handmade buttered pasta.
Yep.
Just like super easy, right?
Yep. Nice
just
accent.
Some creamy risotto.
Oh.
Yep, we've done a steak with it. We even did like chicken and rice with it. We're like, let's try this.
Right, with rice and risotto and chicken with rice. That sounds so good.
But another of those on not cutting corners. We could have just used a truffle oil, right? But instead, I go to Caputo's and I buy them out, you know, and I'm like, hey, don't tell anyone it's me. I bought out all your truffles.
You again.
But yeah, like having that, for me, that beauty of shaving them in there, and then you can see the little chunks, and we have little grinder attachments now.
Nice.
So then you can grind it and get all of that flavor in one go. But it's been a huge hit.
Yeah.
Well, I remember years ago, my family, we were on vacation. We were at a really nice vacation rental on the East Coast, and they had a fully equipped gourmet kitchen, and even all their spices and stuff. And they had a container of Falk salt, F-A-L-K, and I think it's from, like, I don't know, Iceland or Finland or something. And it almost looks like little pyramids. It's got like a very strong structure to the salt. It was a revelation. I could not stop eating buttered toast with this stuff. I mean, I was waking up excited, and I just had no idea that salt had so many different possibilities for flavor, even without adding things. Like,
yeah.
There is a uniqueness to mm-hmm. where a salt is mined from, where what minerals are in it. Do you use a base salt, or do you use different kinds? How does that work?
So we have two that are Hawaiian salts. We have a Hawaiian Alia clay salt, a Hawaiian black lava salt, and then mm-hmm. a coarse kosher salt. And through the summer, very soon, we are going to be partnering with the Redmond's Real Salt.
That's exciting.
Yeah, already partnered, technically.
Partnered, but
it's,
yes.
It's the shift on the labeling and how we present that new collaboration, really.
So right? excited so. About
oh
it, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It's even more Utah at that point.
It
you
is.
Know?
And anybody who's ever had thyroid issues, I'm looking at you, all my midlife women friends, they tell you to have mineral-rich mm-hmm. salts because they really support the thyroid and have iodine, natural iodine, things like that in them. Mm-hmm. So that's a very exciting partnership.
Very, very excited.
Yep.
It took a few years to finally solidify, but now we're like, yes, finally.
That was an interesting part of doing farmers markets, too, was people would ask, like, why no iodine? I'm like, I don't know why. It's like
you need it, but it's like it's probably in everything else that we're eating that's salted,
absolutely.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not as like dire as it used
foods,
to be when,
yes.
you know?
When people are getting rickets or whatever they... goiters.
Yeah, so we don't have that problem anymore, just like we don't have scurvy anymore, you know? Thank goodness.
Right.
But
well, my kids might have scurvy. They don't eat a lot of fruit. But,
give them some of our salt with the citrus.
I will.
Yeah, there you go.
You have said that food can lift a moment and even a life. Has a customer ever told you stories about your salt or sugar that really affected you?
There's a few. Do you want to go first?
Go for it.
One of our customers, she has POTS syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And they give, you know, these crappy sodium packets that are just blah. And so when she found that she could eat these salts straight like she needed to, it was this revelation for her, like, oh, my gosh, you guys made my life delicious. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah, on the verge of tears.
Yeah, like this. And she gets the prickly chipotle salt more often than not. And she'll just sit there and eat it. And it's just like, that was one of the really, like, heartwarming ones, I think.
Mm-hmm. You make my life delicious.
Yeah.
That should be on your shirt. Oh, my gosh.
That
that's
slogan.
Amazing.
So many things like that.
Really?
Like, I have a huge note in my phone that just like goes on and on and on and on and on, like,
yeah, like you've changed the way I see certain dishes, or you know, I'm cooking for my family more, you know, just kind of those things. But they meet Kobe and I, and it's like, if other people that didn't really know the product were selling it, they might not get that I don't know, full tour, I guess, to
mm-hmm.
say. And so mm-hmm. I think he's been really great at saying, hey, have you thought about trying it with this or this? And yeah, so it's been really cool. We have a lot of return people that are like, thank you.
Oh, that's so gratifying. Because even though you know you're making a quality product and doing the work, to hear that directly back is really powerful,
yeah.
isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, we have those moments. You know, I can't remember which one it was that made me like tear up. I think we were in Ogden.
Aww.
It was Jess. Yeah.
With Jess,
She had just moved here with her son, and she was in between jobs. She was just like, I love you guys. I just can't afford it right now.
Yeah.
So I just gave her one. I was like, you know, girl, I got you. This is like right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And she just starts crying. I start crying. We're hugging each other. And now she's like one of our best friends.
Aww.
We watch her kid, you know. So,
and I bet she's bought enough to far make up for that first one.
Yeah. And the amount of people that she sends it to and all of that. But it's created, you know, this lasting friendship, which is really cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a delight speaking with Ivy and Kobe Summer of the Salted Roots, Utah-based cottage industry artisan salt and sugar and flavor company. It's such a joy to have you on the show, and I encourage all of us to check you out at the Park Silly Market at Indigo Highway and all the number of stores that you're in and markets in the entire state and beyond. Thank you so much for being
on the
program.
Of course, thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, too, thesaltedroots.com has our newsletter, and you can see all of the markets. So.
Fantastic.
Yep. Things are ramping up on there. I'd honestly get on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So
Appreciate
much for
it.
Being with us.